Jiminy Jaspers. When will my Harpoon magazine arrive? 5 hours I've been sitting on this swing and it still isn't here. And I'm bored to botheration with these conkers. Ah, well. Think I'll go and play onesies.
Posty, your magazine's here.
Yahoo! The Harpoon, it's here. Ooh, and Wizzo, it's a looking ahead to autumn issue. Just settle down in the grass amongst the leaves, and now for a ponking good read.
No, she blows!
All aboard for this week's edition of the Harpoon. A magazine for young and old across the English-speaking world, with 6 color plates and numerous black and white illustrations. Price 7 pence halfpenny net and available throughout the empire. All rights reserved.
Page 1. Our editor rambles.
Hip, hip! Your old chum, the editor, here with our Looking Ahead to Autumn edition.
Ah!
Yes, another mirthful mountain of wisdom and wit. Oh! And long live the glorious 12. Yes. Well, as the equinox is almost upon us, I'm taking a hearty stride through Burnham beaches with a knapsack on me back, a song in me heart, and conkers in me britches.
Ah!
Enjoy last week's issue? I certainly did. Didn't Maisie Drummond get up to some exciting japes? Well, she's back this week. There's leaf collecting in the Lebanon with Archie Burlap, My Fight with a Finch by Montgomery Withering, and the first episode in our thrilling new serial, A Tale of Romance and Revolution in the Land of the Dago. Oh, season of mists and mellow... Well, what a way to start the issue. Mr. Squirrel, scampering light-footed across the forest floor with his bountiful load of nuts and berries for the coming months. Bloody vermin.
A Chat About Sap by Thornton Labrador, author of Rubber, The Truth, with photographs by D.B.
Hello. Of all the strange substances that are secreted from trees, sap has to be among the most thrilling. Yet, despite Professor Salvaggio's pioneering study in 1893, the subject of sap remains largely unexplored. Which is why I've journeyed to the remote village of Iquitos in Lower Peru to lift the veil of mystery which surrounds the entire world of sap. To the Iquitans, sap is not merely a gummy secretion obtained from certain tree trunks. Good heavens, no. They use it for all manner of purposes, such as clothing. And here is an Iquitan woman wearing a skirt made from sap.
Hello.
They also use sap to tell the time. In the center of the village stands a huge mound of sap. When the mound is rendered invisible by shrouds of darkness, the Iquitans know that night has fallen. Ah, here is the Iquitan chieftain striding through the village, informing his tribe that it is time to retire.
Yeru Nabaraka, Yeru Nabaraka, Yeru Nabaraka.
Or, I cannot see the sap. I cannot see the sap. A third use of sap in Iquitos is perhaps the most ingenious. In moments of high tension, to relieve anger, they hit the sap.
Baraka Arribilo, Baraka Arribilo.
Or, horrible sap, horrible sap. Yet, despite this periodic maltreatment, the Iquitans worship the sap as a god. And every month, they gather in the village square to sing an anthem to the noble liquid. O glorious sap, you came to us from the stars. You give nourishment to the bees and sustenance to the snake. Even though you are sticky, you are still quite attractive. You supply us with lots of skirts. Oh, sap, we tried to make some shoes out of you as well, but they didn't quite work.
Ladies, it's all too easy these days when out shopping at the butcher's to forget to buy some pork. The busy wife returns home wearily, only to find that she has to go back out again for the chops and trotters. send for the Pork Purchase Reminder, an easy-to-use device that will signal when you've forgotten the pork.
I got one last year, and I haven't forgotten to buy pork since.
Mrs. Junkin, Newport. Not suitable for beef or chicken.
Page 11. Harpoon Romance, our brand new adventure serial.
The Brigands of La Nada.
By Bentley Warhol, author of The Cruel Lagoon and She Pushed Too Hard. Episode 1, The Fall of Howard.
Junior law clerk Toby Watkiss has set off with his sturdy trunk on a visit to his Uncle Jamon's Castillo in the distant mountainous land of La Nada, accompanied by his unusually well-built young chum, Howard. Only to be plunged into the midst of a bitter civil war. Witness the destruction of the Castillo, Uncle Jamon's castration by crowd of rebellious and depraved grape crushers, flee to the mountains, and get captured by the evil sinewy socialist General Patata and his trio of notorious brigands, Rioja, Gaspacho, and Tortilla. As we begin, Howard has disappeared, and Toby has just made the general muy furioso by accidentally breaking his last botella of the potent local fire water, Mescalina.
I'm deeply sorry, sir. Truly I am. Oh, would that I were back in Mottram St. Andrew, rather than this hellish land of heat and dust and oily, evil-smelling ne'er-do-well.
My Mescalina!
Oh, wait, sir, wait. I have a worthy replacement beverage here in my trunk. A fiery brew, if ever there was one.
Mescalina?
No, sir, no, no. Dandelion and burdock.
Gazpacho!
Si, senor.
Bring me my blunderbusto.
Oh, where can my faithful chum Howard have got to?
Must have been sleepwalking, I think. Must have fallen off the cliff, I think.
Your fall was broken by my poor bent old mother.
Oh, she all right then?
Not exactly, but he's okay. He's the way she would have wanted it. What's your name?
Howard.
Howard. My name is Franella Lapida Naranja.
Well, what that mean then?
Orange, tombstone, flannel.
Oh.
Oh, my mother dead. Oh, well, at least I get to be queen at last.
Beg pardon?
I explain later. But first, how about a bit of innocent, boyish, roughy tumble in the waves?
Prepare to die, Ingle, I say.
Well, spare me, sir, I beg you.
Adios, chico. Gazpacho! Usted es imbecile.
Yo, imbecile, you shoot my donkey, paella. Oh, paella, mi pobre paella.
Silencio! It is time to sleep. For now I will lash the boy to these cactus, then lie down and dream of social justice and even distribution. You keep a lookout.
Oh, Howard, my oddly oversized chum, where are you?
How old do you say you are?
11.
11?
Yeah, because I'm in the second form. I've been there 17 years now.
17 years? For 17 miserable autumns, I live here at foot of cliff. Ever since my mother, the proud dictator queen of La Nada, was ousted by smelly brigands.
My chum Toby's with brigands right now.
Oh, Howard, why you not say? We must rescue him. Destroy the dirty dogs of caring democracy and regain my throne. Quick, take this dagger and carry it in your mouth.
Right you are. Ow!
Not that way round.
Oh, Ayala, yes, you is dead. They put bullets in your lovely donkey head.
Oh. Howard, you're still with me?
Yeah. But why did we have to swap clothes?
He's a cunning in disguise.
The skirt's a bit tight, though, isn't it?
Shh. Now, you go and untie your chum, and I will distract that brigand.
Hola, senor. You like castanet accompaniment?
Oh, gracias.
Colby! Me!
Why, I'm being assailed by some gigantic old crone with a dagger in her mouth.
No, Colby, it's all right.
Help! I'm being kidnapped!
Huh? Gazpacho!
Okay? Howard, we rumbled. We must away.
Paella is alive!
Howard, on the donkey!
No, you stupid old woman! You break my poor donkey's back! Paella!
Gazpacho!
Patata!
Howard, come on! Run!
Howard? Howard? Come back, Howard! Come back!
Will Toby and Howard ever meet again? Will Franella ever become Queen Orange Tombstone Flannel? And will Paella the Communist Donkey live to see the Ashes control the means of distribution? Find out in next week's slime-encrusted episodio of The Brigands of La Nada.
Battling that bona fide. Fascinating autumnal facts at the foot of the page.
Did you know that the word autumn comes from the Greek words or, meaning the, and tum, meaning season that comes directly between summer and winter?
How to Throw Your Voice, with Variety columnist Henrietta Velveteen, principal lady comic and ventriloquist in Tickle My Fancy, at the Golden Regency Palace of High Class Variety and Song, Streatham.
Hello there. The simple application of the following techniques, which I will impart to you absolutely free, will convert you very quickly into an accomplished voice thrower, or ventriloquist.
Diagram A. The student clenches his teeth and flexes his tongue 3 times.
And there you have it. For further instructions, send now for my booklet entitled Throw in Your Voice, The Rest of the Facts. Price 15 shillings and 6 pence, available only direct from the Harpoon magazine. Before I go, I'd like to demonstrate the efficacy of my technique by throwing my voice all the way to Edinburgh. Hello?
Hello?
Who is that speaking, please?
This is you, Henrietta Velveteen.
And where are you, Henrietta?
I'm in Edinburgh.
Can you prove that?
Certainly. I'm holding the phone to the window now. There. Hear that? That's the mass band of the Edinburgh Pipers, that is.
Proof positive, ladies and gentlemen, that I have thrown me voice all the way to Edinburgh and phoned myself up. Oh, Henrietta?
Yes, Henrietta?
Don't be late home, will you? I want a word with you.
Notable fireplaces of England. Number 31. The Inglenook.
True Life Tales.
In Search of Edmund Colt.
Being extracts from the Journal of Selsdon Mace, author of We Rode Before Supper and Only a Giraffe.
Day 36. My quest for the missing explorer, Edmund Colt, has taken something of a sorry turn. After struggling 40 miles inland across the savage white South Polar wilderness, we remembered to our horror that Colt had in fact gone missing in equatorial Africa. It appears there was some kind of dreadful mix-up back in Blighty, and while we freeze out here in shorts and pith helmets, the celebrated Antarctic explorer Sir Miriam Dieff is leading a pack of huskies down the Congo Basin. Come sunset, we pitched camp and attempted to cheer ourselves with a little light sport.
Bravo. Plate 1. Rafe Hick, the team medic, came first in the baby seal pup hurling tournament.
Day 102. A momentous encounter. A team of Norwegians, led by some chap by the name of Amundsen, stopped to exchange pleasantries. They also kindly supplied us with a map of the region, in return for a rocket-powered motor sledge thrown together in a moment of idleness by Alistair Burkis, our team inventor. The Scandinavians whizzed off into the blizzard, gabbling some nonsense about skit or scot, and we'll be there first, ho, ho, ho. We hobbled back and gleefully opened our newly acquired chart, depicting every feature of the barren landscape around us.
Plate 3. Mace stared forlornly at the huge, blank, white sheet of paper. Well, at least it's accurate, he choked.
Day 506. We lost 2 more men today from the dreaded frostbite. Carlton Sluice, the team dentist, and Jean-Paul Maison, the team French sous-chef. This afternoon, at approximately 3 o'clock, Emerson French, the team household product salesman, staggered out into the blizzard. "I may be some time," he muttered. In fact, he was 1 hour and 17 minutes. "By God, this is an awful place." Day 813. Not much time left. Constantine Connive, the team mayor, tried to liven my spirits with a selection of his favorite civic addresses. Thankfully, he died halfway through his speech on the opening of the Wigan Aquarium. Not only my writing hand getting weaker, it is also no longer part of my body. Nudging it to cross notepad with nose. Only thankful that I've retained my sanity. And all I ask of posterity is that the name Selsdon Mace be forever associated with this grave proverb. Rocking chairs, and not a lamb to slip. Rocking chairs and bluebell woods. Where's my bloody ship?
Here the Journal of Selsdon Mace ends. Next week we commence a new serial, In Search of Selsdon Mace, by Carshelton Edgar, author of All for a Breastplate, Oh, Nepal, and I Paid Her Well.
Boys, a new interest. Salt. Brand new booklet entitled Salt, sent under plain cover for fivepence.
Now all my friends want some.
Boy H, Scunthorpe.
Harpoon, centre pages.
Hip-hip, harpoonish. Big-hearted Bertie here, the harpoon hobby horse, with a brand spanking new cut-out-and-keep gift. And this week, novelty dance lessons.
Ooh, Bobby Dazzlers. I've always wanted to learn the soft shoe shuffle.
On the opposite page, you'll see a sequence of footprints. A, B, C, D and E. Simply cut along a dotted line around each footprint.
Right.
And place each footprint on a hard surface, making sure you arrange them in the proper sequence, as illustrated.
A, B, C, D, and E.
Now, stepping carefully onto the footprints, launch yourself with gusto into the following dance sequence. C, B, A, C, B, A, E, D, B, C, E, D, B, C, B, D, B, D, B, D, B, D, E, A, C, D, B. Now, your turn.
Okay, here goes. Oh, phew. Oh, I'd hate to try the tarantella. Right, what's next?
Doors to Technology, with our scientific columnist, Dr. Mortimer Bill.
Hello. Today we're looking at the computer, a truly fascinating concept, a piece of technological wizardry designed to perform complex mathematical computations at the pull of a lever. However, so far, such a device has eluded even the cleverest inventors, since the simplest machine would need to be so large as to occupy a space equivalent to that of a small city. But now, one woman has overcome the problem. Here I am at the centre of what was, until last October, the small yet thriving Scottish city of Glasdean. However, a bill rushed through Parliament permitted Glasdean's obliteration and replacement by this, a 17-square-mile mechanical calculator.
Hello.
Ah, hello, madam. Are you the inventor and proud owner of this scientific masterpiece?
I am, but...
And is it a success?
Ooh, aye. Admittedly, there has been the minor inconvenience of rendering 260,000 people homeless, but it is not a save on paperwork.
Jiminy. And what are all those lovely people doing on top of it?
Ach, well, that's the brighter side for the former townsfolk. I've re-employed a lot of them to jump up and down on the mile-wide buttons as required. Safety in numbers, eh?
Ha, ha, ha. So, may I test this magnificent contraption?
That you may.
Eight.
Eight!
Divided by two.
Now therein lies a minor difficulty.
Oh.
The computer cannae divide, at least not until I eradicate the quaint suburban village of Butrums and Swithin.
Ah, well, that's progress.
Comic Corner. First Cockney to Second Cockney.
Here, Elsie. You fond of moving pictures?
Second Cockney to First Cockney?
Yeah, I suppose I am, mate.
First Cockney to Second Cockney?
Well, would you mind coming round me house? Me wife's rearranging the furniture and she's thinking of moving some pictures further along the wall.
Second Cockney to First Cockney?
Yeah, that's moving pictures and all, innit?
First Cockney to Second Cockney?
Yeah, it is, and no mistake.
Second Cockney to First Cockney? Both Cockneys?
Nah.
Baffling but bona fide. Fascinating autumnal facts at the foot of the page.
At the point of the equinox, if you were to imagine the sun was the size of a melon, Venus a pea, Mars a tomato, Saturn a tennis ball, Neptune a sprout, and Earth a marble, then you'd be quite wrong.
Stamp Corner.
Number one. As a special autumn issue of the Scottish Tuppenny Stamp, depicting Robert the Bruce standing next to a brazier of hot chestnuts. Number two. As a French three-centime Bastille stamp. A little less valuable than the above stamp, as it is obscured by a rather heavy postmark.
Chablis District Post Office, 6:15 p.m., June 14th, 1929.
Meadowfields Maisie.
By Della Vigilante Hill, authoress of The Ballet Shoe Was Missing.
Episode 2, Bertha Has a Sensation. Last week, Maisie and her first-form chums were baffled by the appearance of a number of strange men with binoculars and the disappearance of 16 of their fellow classmates, including Princess Tarin of Abadaba. But after a nocturnal investigation of the school grounds and the discovery of a dazed Tarin, mysteriously released, the clever Cockney scholarship girl has begun to suspect Abdul the Arab caretaker, spotted near the chapel with a crate marked Saudi Arabia. But before they could find out more, Maisie and her chums, the eight Mildreds and Bertha, were tumbled by headmistress Miss Snape, who also just happened to be near the chapel at midnight, wearing a yashmak. Now, read on.
Well, let that be a lesson to you, creeping about the school at dead of night. Didn't I tell you girls that the chapel was out of bounds?
Please, Miss Snape,
silence! Don't you think I'm fretted enough, what with 16 pupils going missing in the last fortnight? Right, ready your sails for chastisement. The eight Mildreds first.
But you already chastised us, Miss Snape.
Have I? Well, I'm sure you could do with some more. Spare the strap, spoil the fun, you know. Come on, it's only leather.
I say, Maisie, no more snooping, what?
Are you kidding, Bertha? We're going to leg it back to the chapel this very night.
What? Mind my binoculars, Bertha.
Okay, Princess Taryn, what say we take a butcher's hook at the belfry where the ne'er-do-wells last you to the clapper?
But how are we going to get up there?
Look, if we tear our petticoats into long shreds, remove our hair grips, then loop the torn underclothes around the clasps at equal distances, we'll have a rudimentary but effective stepladder.
No, I've got a better idea.
What?
We'll use this stepladder that's dangling down from the belfry.
Good thinking. Bully off, everyone.
Look, blooming loads of crates, all marked Saudi Arabia.
What can it all mean?
I think it means that our 16 missing chums might not all be playing truant.
But...
Shh!
Yes, we leave tonight, Shakespeare.
Strike a light, they're coming this way. Quick, hide in this crate.
My nose is tickling. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, just put a sock in it, you plump poltroon. They mustn't be found.
That Shake Snape looked a grim cove.
Malbuja, load these into the van at once.
Cross! What do we do now?
Keep mum, pray, and think of Mafeking.
But it's the Gymkhana tomorrow.
Unload the crates.
We're at the village railway station.
And look, 16 crates with "There are no schoolgirls in here" written on them. Quick, use this crowbar.
Flipping Latin masters. Jenny Throgmorton Fanshawe, gagged and bound like a trussed whippet. And these 15 others.
Held it right there.
Miss Snape.
Not quite, chums. If I half hint off her yashmak. As I thought. Incriminating whiskers.
Sheikh Mustafa Snape to you girls. So, you've rumbled my little part-time white slavery operation, have you?
Yes, and we're not afraid because there's 26 of us.
Ah, but there's 432 of us.
The whole village!
Oi! Oi, yeah! You're done for now, you young whippersnappers!
Yes, there's plenty more fresh white slaves to be had where you came from. Bind them tightly, Malbuzach.
Salim!
Seal them in the largest crate reinforce it with iron bars, attach 5 time bombs to it, and drop it in the village pond.
Help! 1, 2, 3!
How on earth will our plucky school chums escape their watery fate in the duck pond of Slumber-on-the-Chintz? Can Maisie ever break out of a reinforced underwater strongbox and confront an entire criminal village populace of 432, outwit the evil Shake Snape, infiltrate and destroy the biggest clandestine white slave operation in southern Gloucestershire, taking in parts of Wilts, and win the Gymkhana on Crooked Milko? Or has our intrepid Cockney Sparrow bitten off more than her Hampstead Heaths can chew? Discover her fate in next week's nail-biting installment of Meadowfield's Maisie.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Harpoon back page.
First off, answers to last week's posers.
Number 1, shelving. Number 2, A would take the longest because his sister is also his cousin. Number 3, if the ball of wool were red, then Caversham would never have opened a bowling alley.
And now, Leaping Lenny. On the bottom right-hand corner of the next 6 pages, you'll see a series of jolly little drawings of a man on a trampoline. On their own, the drawings appear somewhat lifeless. But when the pages are held tightly between forefinger and thumb and permitted to flip open in rapid succession, watch in wonderment as our little friend comes to life, jumping up and down like a performing flea for your entertainment and delight.
Think I'll try this. Oh, Wizzo. Now to make him jump a little faster.
Oh, no, please stop it. Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
I should think so.
Oh, dear. And finally, answers to readers' queries. Master P. Wilmot, Keswick, Cumbria. Fascism is a form of scouting invented by the Italians. Like ours, it involves long walks in short trousers, leaf collecting and knots. However, the tendency for Italian scouts, or fascists, to use cudgels, guns and piano wire in their scouting games is something which the Baden-Powell Committee is currently reviewing. F. Blip, Sutton, walking in should do the trick. Quite frankly, I can think of no other surefire method of getting inside a post office. J. Logie Baird, 24, Marrakesh, Colchester. Well, it might work, I suppose, John, but I'm not sure if porridge is quite right. Try, electricity. Barry Sack, Wigan. Caviar is a delicacy that the citizens of Wigan will never, ever have the money or the status to partake of.
Ah, home at last. With a fire in the grate, sherry on the sideboard and a glow in me cheeks. Well, I'm afraid that's all for this week. Learned a lot about the autumn equinox. I certainly have. Don't miss next week's issue, will you? Hip, hip!
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing up the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Oh, oh, come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Alistair McGowan, Bryony Pritchard, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Polishing the sun, they must know just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Well, what a ripping read that was. And I do love autumn.